Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome to the show. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us on the phones. You can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have there for you, including our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. We'll tell you more about that probably a little bit later on tonight. Here in the studio, it's Ian.
And Chris.
Chris, you just got back last week from the Porcupine Freedom Festival and Fork Fest, and you stayed for both the Porcupine Freedom Festival Fork Fest. 10 days up in beautiful Rogers Campground. Which is, of course, a wonderful place to be. We've been discussing the upcoming Fork Fest, the one that will be happening in 2024. The 8th annual Fork Fest is 2024, and the unofficial dates are now announced. So for those of you who are curious about when Fork Fest might be held next year, it looks like it will be June 13th through the 16th. And that puts it right in front of, as this year we did as well, right in front of the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
It was good too. We had a great turnout. I thought it turned out way better than last year.
See, I went on the Saturday. It was actually my first Fork Fest in 3 years since we were raided by the FBI in March of 2021. But I guess that's 2 years. But anyway, I couldn't go in 2021. Couldn't go in 2022. So I was able to go up for 1 day. We went up for the Saturday, which is was Nikki and Matt's wedding, our co-host Nikki and Matt. So I was kind of there on the big day. And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't know if I got a real impression as to what Fork Fest was like on, say, Friday or Thursday, which are the first 2 days of it.
I would say there's probably a couple dozen people there on the first day, on Thursday,
That's pretty good.
The night of. You know, I think Aria showed up earlier, and she was the first one. I don't know what time she showed up exactly, but it sounded like that.
I don't know if she was the first one. I know she thought she was.
She thought she was.
There were people talking on the chat room that were already cooking things and getting together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she probably wasn't the first one, just because there's other people who are there, like, They're diehard camper kind of folks.
There's people that actually have what they call the park models. These are people who rent, or I think they actually purchase them. They buy the trailers on the Rogers Campground property. They don't move them. They just stay there all year long, and you can't live in them all year long because of some, you know, I guess a lot of people don't want to live in a trailer during the wintertime, number one. But secondly, there's actually a prohibition in New Hampshire. Is one of the ways that New Hampshire isn't free, is if you run a campground, you actually cannot open during the wintertime, apparently. That's in the New Hampshire statutes.
No winter camping.
Apparently not. Well, I mean, you can go out in the woods and camp if you want, but if you have a campground, you can't be open, as I understand it. So they come in for the summer and the spring months. And they just basically live at Rogers Campground throughout the summertime, which is a pretty cool thing. Like, you know, I wish I could do that to some extent. I mean, I can't really, because I've got a lot of things I got to do elsewhere. But I do envy those people to be able to wake up and enjoy the beauty of Rogers Campground every single day.
Sure.
That must be really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice place to hang out. I don't know. I will have to say though, 10 days of fun is a bit much. I think for most people, most of us. So I don't know if I'd want to do. But you know,
it would be much more relaxing if you were there all summer.
Maybe I'm not totally sure if I would feel more relaxed there all summer, but certainly
you'd have to just get work done, you know, like that's
I don't know.
You wouldn't be able to just chill all summer. You gotta keep busy or you'd be bored to tears.
Well, right. I mean, I guess that's kind of part of what I'm thinking. Yeah. And it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it's you kind of want to get off the campground once in a while. But there's not much to do downtown. There's a couple of restaurants.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. But certainly it's easier if you have probably some sort of RV maybe or one of the, I don't know if they call them mobile homes.
They're called park models.
Yeah, park models. Mm-hmm. I'm sure those would make it.
They're basically trailers.
Yeah.
They just sit there all the time. Porkfest is happening. It's going to be June 13th through the 16th. That'll be basically the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. As I understand it, the Porcupine Freedom Festival does have their tickets on sale already. And I believe they've raised the price. The pre-purchase price is $100, as I've heard. I've not yet made a purchase of the tickets, but I've heard that that's the case. The Porcupine Freedom Festival, I did not hear if they sold out this year or not.
My understanding was they didn't.
Okay.
But, I'm not.
I believe.
I'm definitely not an official source, and sometimes things change, but I was pretty sure just prior they said they were definitely not going to be selling out.
Yeah, because I know the previous 2 years they had sold out well in advance, and I know that right before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, at least the week before, they were still selling tickets online. So
my understanding is that they increased it by 500, I'm pretty sure they said. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what the numbers are. I way overestimated the numbers of tickets, apparently, and I got called out on it already, so I won't do that again. But it was, I don't know what they sold. Maybe it was 2,500 and they sold 2,300.
Yeah, I'm hoping to find out. I did ask the one of the organizers, Constance, and I just haven't pinged her back to see if she's dug through. She didn't have the numbers at the time when I had asked. It was right after the festival was done. I'm always curious to see how that is going because it seems like it was too many. There was a large demand on the facilities of the campground that apparently resulted in the water being shut off for 3 days straight. And apparently it even affected the people in the hotels, which has never happened before. Normally, the people in the hotel or the motel on the property, they're paying $100 a night or $110 bucks a night. So they kind of expect to have water when maybe if the campground gets shut down, you can rough it. But the people in the hotels expect to be able to take a shower and they were not able to. So it must have been a stinky 3 days there on on Rogers Campground. And that's rough. So I think that is a testament to the fact that the event, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, has just gotten too big. And I don't know if they're going to make a change on that front next year, but they really ought to. They ought to bring it back down to 2,000 tickets or whatever, because I think they raised it to 3,000 or something like that this year. At least I heard that rumor.
It wasn't clear to me as to what they did. I thought they raised it by 500 tickets for 2 years in a row, and it was maybe 2,000 and 2,500
and 3,000.
But I don't know. I don't know. Somebody said that's it's nowhere near the number I thought. But I did give a number that was probably 1,000 over what it probably was. But
Well, I guess we'll see because I think a lot of people aren't going to want to go through that again if that.
It was actually worse than that because
than 3 days.
Worse than just no water in that there was nowhere to go to the bathroom because the porta potties that they got without any bathrooms they filled up and there was nowhere to go
and they couldn't call the truck to clean them out quick enough.
I don't know. This is secondhand. I actually didn't try and use the porta potties during those 3 days.
Where did you go?
I had a hotel that wasn't on the campground, and I guess I just didn't have to go during the day. I don't know. I guess I got lucky. I don't know. I'm not really sure what happened. Maybe I went out during the day. I don't know.
A lot of people going down the street to the restaurants or whatever.
Yeah, jeez. I don't think I did that mostly in the beginning though. I think so. I'm not sure. I pretty much was on the campground the whole time this for the 10 days for the most part, except for the first couple of days during Forkfest where I went off for dinner. But
so we lucked out then when Bonnie and I came up to visit. We must have just missed it because we were there on we were there on Wednesday and Friday and we didn't have any issues. So when were the 3 days that they shut it down?
I thought it was
maybe it was off and on.
I thought it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday were the 3 days.
Because we were there Friday, and we were using a hotel room.
And the water was no problem?
Yeah, it was fine. So maybe it was off and on.
I'm wondering if the upper and lower hotels made a difference.
Could be.
Yeah.
So anyway, check out forkfest.party if you want to learn more about the upcoming event in 2024. You can get connected with other ForkFest attendees. And it's, you know, look, for those of you that don't know what to expect, it's a smaller event. I mean, as you said, Chris, there were a couple dozen people there.
Well, that was the first day. I mean,
as the days went on, wedding happened, and there's like 150 people there, so it's hard to really count that day.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, somewhere between a couple dozen and 150 was, you know, roughly the turnout.
Well, again, the couple dozen was the night of. The following day on Friday, you know, everybody started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by Saturday, like, I don't want to say the park was full, but it definitely seemed like it was pretty full, even though it wasn't full in the same sense that it was on the next Saturday when Pork Fest was in full session. Yeah, I mean, there obviously weren't 2,000 people there.
I think at best you probably are at a tenth the size of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, at best.
Yeah, well, there's another aspect of this, too, in one of the reasons why it's kind of hard to evaluate is there are people who are going to come up not for Forkfest specifically.
Correct, they're coming up early for Porkfest.
Right.
They don't even know that Porkfest exists.
Some of those people are also people who I know of in past years, they had planned on staying for ForkFest, and one of the reasons I know they didn't stay for ForkFest had to do with the fact that they had come up early, and then by the time ForkFest came around, it was too much. So they stayed for a little bit of ForkFest, but they didn't stay for all of ForkFest. And so I think those people are fair to count as being part of ForkFest because they intentionally came for ForkFest. But, you know, we wouldn't have seen them last year, as an example.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because ForkFest has no tickets, so there's really no way to know. The only way you really know is if you talk to people and ask them. And somebody who I think was new to the event this year was posting in the ForkFest chat room last night that he felt like, you know, he didn't know where to go or who people were because it's such a small event by comparison. And it's a big campground.
Yeah.
If people are spread out, you don't really know. And if you're not a sociable person, you're going to be feeling like you don't know what's going on. You've got to, you know, you really ought to talk to people. I mean, that's the best way to do it is to just, you see somebody at a campsite, say, hey, you here for ForkFest? And they'll probably say yes. If they don't, fine. You can meet them too.
You know,
whatever.
But
if you're just going to walk around and not talk to people, then it's going to feel pretty lonely.
I think to some degree, this is a complaint that I've heard before.
Yes.
And I think to some degree, there are people who are, I mean, especially for libertarians, we're pretty sociable, but if you're not going to come up and say hi, you may feel, or you see people talking, it's a somewhat of a small group. But, you know, we're being communicative and you don't kind of come up and say hi. You know, you may feel that we're hostile. Now, I feel like I did a decent job of, like, being friendly to people and talking to people when they came by.
I think you generally do. I mean, I wasn't there for it, but I think
I've got two, collapsible camp. What do you call them? Chairs, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, right next to the road with a booth and everything, with NH Exit. Yeah, and
your booth was right next to the Free Talk Live booth.
Right.
So, like, it should have been pretty obvious that this was a place for ForkFest people to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can't, you know, I don't know how awkward socially this particular individual was.
I don't know.
The libertarian movement is sort of known for having those individuals within it. So just try to come out of your shell and meet people, and that'll help you. And that's one of the things the chat room helps with, too, is, you know, if you don't check in with the chat room, you may not know everything or a fraction of what is going on. Because people do talk about, we're going to go out to dinner. And you know,
there is another aspect to this, too, I think. And you've got 10 days here. And sometimes some people are worn out, so they may not be as friendly as they would be.
Yeah, but not on the first weekend.
Well,
you shouldn't be worn out on day number two.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And there's also some people who are kind of trolly.
There are those people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta talk to more than one person because if the first person you come across is a troll and they're being kind of mean, you know, that's not the majority of people who are at ForkFest or ParkFest. It's a one-off situation.
So if you want to join the show here, you can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. I just wanted to mention that, you know, the dates, the unofficial dates, because there are no official dates, because there are no real, like, centralized organizers for ForkFest. It's just a bunch of people coming to a campground on the same days. So some people will show up earlier. It doesn't have to be Thursday the 13th. If you want to spend that whole week at Rogers, then there may still be people there for it. I don't know.
They're definitely... almost certainly probably are, yeah. Just because, I mean, I can't say exactly when people showed up prior to Thursday, but
some people did, yeah.
But there were definitely people, there's people there, even now I think there's still some people
right,
there.
Some people do, well, of course there's the park model people that are there all summer, but some people also do what they call Sporkfest, which is happening after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So if you want to go for the full 2 weeks,
yeah.
Start on Thursday, June 13th, and then go all the way through the 26th, you can, you know.
I suspect if you do go up, if you don't get to know certain people, you're going to feel pretty lonely on the campground. Outside of ForkFest. Yeah. But if you get to know people, you know, they're going to be more like neighbors probably.
Yeah, I think so. So, you can go to ForkFest.party to learn more about that. Last night on the show, we were talking about an article from a group of haters here in New Hampshire. They are called Granite State Matters. Now, I believe they're related to the group known as Granite State Progress, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I think these guys have a podcast, and they essentially focus in on, at least from what I've seen, the Free State Project and how terrible it is
now,
for New Hampshire.
I am curious. Is there any connection to, like, the Free Keen Hate group that
I'm aware of?
No? Okay. So this is just sort of a separate hate group.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The Free Keen Hate group was formed almost a decade ago at this point. That was 2014 when the Free Keen, what do they call it? Stop Free Keen. Was created. And actually, they came after a previous hate group, which was a little more verbose. That was Free Keen from the Free Keen Stigma. I think that was probably 2010 or 2011.
Never heard of that one.
There's always been people out there hating on the libertarian activists here in New Hampshire because the libertarians here in New Hampshire are actually effective.
Yeah.
We actually do things. We make we make headlines. People who are in this movement get elected. We've got a couple, maybe four or five dozen people in the state house here in New Hampshire. Something's funny. It's close to four dozen, like 50 roughly Free Staters are actually in the state house. And so the people who love the government, the people who love the state, they really take us seriously. And they should, unlike other libertarian movements elsewhere, which barely even qualify as being movements. They're just little political parties that have absolutely no effect on the other 49 states in which they're in. So that's why we get lengthy attack pieces and, hate mailers and, all kinds of just hate from these people because, well, the Free State Project is a project that is a success. It has successfully attracted thousands of like-minded, liberty-oriented people here to New Hampshire, and that's what they're mad about. So they were talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They were talking about agorism, just to bring you up to speed here, which they point out that agora is Greek for marketplace. They say that agorism denies that the government has the right to ban, regulate, or tax any consensual exchange of goods or services. They believe they have the right to smuggle people into the country, own prohibited weapons, employ children, sell drugs, procure sexual services, and anything else they care to. And they then have photographs of some of the drug tables at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where this is one of the real highlights for me of the festival, is being able to, I couldn't use any of the drugs because I'm on bail conditions, but to see somebody just openly selling moonshine, which is not legal, to see someone selling mushrooms openly, like they didn't have it in like a closed box that you to ask for. It's right there on like the picnic table.
It was like way more than it has been in past years. You know, in past years, you would see people openly selling drugs like down in the down in the bowl, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I've seen that.
Somewhat, you know, kind of on the down low, but even very public still. Mm-hmm. And this year it was like campsites, you know, they had whole fancy setups and things.
There was one big tent that was like a huge head shop that sold accessories and actual products.
I didn't see this year. I think there was, but there were even miners, I believe, selling alcohol, which I thought was
I'm glad that came back.
Yeah.
That was something that was known for like a decade ago.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that. it kind of stopped because I think what happened was the liquor commission came to the campground and threatened Crosby, the owner of the campground, and they said, if you don't stop this from happening, we're going to take your liquor permit. Because I guess they sell beers or whatever.
I know it's not officially permitted by the campground. That's for
sure.
Oh,
it's definitely not. Yeah.
But
they can't really stop it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think at that time it kind of cooled off for a little while. Like the Free State Project said, hey, can you cut it out or something like that? And it kind of stopped for some number of years. But I'm glad to hear it's back. So let me resume this story here. They get into what they say is the history of Porkfest and the Free State Project. So let's see what they get right. Because a lot of the time, these haters actually are pretty good at researching. They spend a lot of time. They put a lot of effort into doing these pieces. However, they got a major point wrong earlier, which we read last night, where they say that Ian Freeman, that's me, is currently serving 10 years in prison, and that
where did they get the 10 years from?
And that I wasn't at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So, yeah,
they're just making stuff up.
Maybe they need to do a little better research, but here we go. So they say the first Porkfest was in 2003, the year Jason Sorens and his followers voted on which state they should move to. And I'll tell you this, when I voted, I was in the group of people that did vote on the state, and I did choose New Hampshire as the number one choice. It was what they call a Condorcet ranked choice method. That was the type of voting that we did. So there were 10 different options, 10 different states. All of them were low population states. And New Hampshire blew away the rest of the competition. Mm. Each state actually had its own advocates, right? Like there's people that live in those states that wanted people to come to their state so they didn't have to move. And so they all wrote up their own pitch, essentially, and it was all printed up in like a 40-page binded document that they sent out to people, and then you could read through each state's pitch and decide which ones you wanted to vote for. And so New Hampshire won overwhelmingly. But they use the term followers here, and it's like, I didn't know who Jason Sorens was from, you know, Adam at the time. I mean, I think I had heard that he was the founder of the project, so like I knew the name, but he wasn't someone who I was familiar with. Yeah. I certainly had never read any of his whatever writings he might have had at the time.
You know, it's kind of interesting. So I wasn't around. I don't know, you know, what was happening. I mean, I was aware because I think it hit Slashdot at the time.
Really? That early?
Yeah. It hit, and I never heard of it again, actually, until 2014 or 15.
Oh, wow.
Of course, then I moved once I realized it was a real thing. Like, it was actually happening, or it had already happened, and I totally missed it. I don't know. It's like, I don't know what happened. I mean, obviously, I know what people tell me and what I've read about, but I feel like sometimes, you know, people get, like, this wrong perspective of things, and I guess it's not even really just the Free State Project I'm thinking of. Like, there's other movements, and they get this impression that, like, certain people had, like, a bigger impact than I think they necessarily did. Jason Sorens is kind of an example of that. Not to say he didn't have any impact. His essay was very important, but...
Well, I mean, he is the founder of the project.
Right,
I mean, there's
right.
no doubt he deserves a lot of credit. On the other hand, he didn't move here until, like,
right.
several years ago.
Well, that's exactly the point that I'm making, right? There are a lot of other people who made it actually happen.
On the ground.
Yeah.
More coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The White House claims there's been irresponsible reporting about the Biden family after cocaine was found in a common area in the West Wing. Responding to a question about whether the drugs belonged to any of the Bidens, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre repeated the president was away at Camp David Friday to Tuesday. The Southwest and parts of the East have continued to feel extreme heat today. NBC's Emily Ikeda.
Well, you already can feel that oppressive heat and humidity setting in parts of the Northeast. Some cities will see temperatures up to 13 degrees above average today.
Southern Arizona is still under excessive heat warnings, while fire danger is critical in the northern part of the state. Rudy Giuliani is being recommended for disbarment in Washington, D.C. A three-member panel said the ex-lawyer for former President Trump claimed massive election fraud but had no evidence. Dave Collins, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa, don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Here in some countries are welcoming towards people.
Yeah.
Whoops. That was a little confusing. Sorry for that. We were looking through some of the Free Talk Live archives. And so that's what you heard there as we were just coming back in from the break. Was there was the archive from two nights ago or last night was playing. I didn't realize it at the time. So that's why it didn't make any sense when we were coming back from break. You heard me talking about and then it got cut off. Anyway, what we were looking for was to see what the topics were that were being discussed on Wednesday night, because apparently YouTube has decided to give us a strike, which they do from time to time for saying things that are against whatever the mainstream views are. Let's see. This was the 5th, so that was Wednesday. It was Bonnie and Nikki and myself on the show. Oh, yep. Yeah, we did talk about COVID. So, because we talked about COVID, the channel has been struck for so-called medical misinformation.
And the funny thing about this is, correct me if I'm wrong here, but isn't Nikki a nurse?
She is, yes, that's correct.
So they're striking a show where there's an actual medical professional on the show.
Yes, that's what they did.
Simply because you guys were talking about something
medical. She has an opinion that is not with the mainstream view on that. And so we're banned off of streaming from YouTube for at least 7 days. We may or may not resume streaming after that because, you know, it's risky. If they hit us with 3 strikes, then the channel will just be deleted and there will be no opportunity to you know, appeal those deletions or anything like that. So we could start streaming 7 days from now, but the strike doesn't drop off 7 days from now. The strike drops off in October. So the safest route would be to just stop streaming entirely on YouTube until October, and then the one strike that's on the channel would be wiped away at that point. But, you know, that's 3 months from now. So I don't know. I don't really...
There is another solution, right?
Well, this other solution is people shouldn't watch us on YouTube at all.
And there's how many other ways to watch Free Talk Live?
There's almost a dozen other video streaming platforms that we're on. So, but thanks to one of our users on Odyssey for giving us the heads up about this. We appreciate that. I wouldn't know. I pay zero attention to YouTube. So just one of our Odyssey chatters happened to be in there and said, oh, yeah, by the way, you guys aren't on YouTube. Oh, and so I went, I looked, and found out that, yep, they didn't strike the channel.
How do you find out about that? Do they send you an email?
Or? I think they send me an email with that. I don't check that email address.
Okay.
So, yeah, you would have to just notice that you're not on the channel, and then if you log in, then it pops up a notice saying, we caught you, shame on you, and, you know, bad boy. So, anyway, you want to comment, you can join the show here. Sarah's on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So, hey, but I was going to say that your show is really popular. You're streaming live on how many?
Don't be confused. Just because we're streaming on a dozen different platforms doesn't mean that we're actually popular. Many of these platforms, we have 0 to 1 viewers. So
something else you should know is just because you have a lot of people watching or viewing your content doesn't mean you're popular either. You actually get more people listening, at least people listening longer who hate your content than people who like your content. Like I forget where that statistic came from, but there's some statistic somewhere that shows that.
Yeah. Okay. Right now we have a grand total of 14 viewers on our number one platform, which is Odyssey at watch.freetalklive.com. You can tune in there, and that's the one that we pay attention to the chat room. We'll actually see your comments if you make them in there, and that is not a lot of people at all. But we appreciate all 14 of you.
But keeping this in context, this is primarily a radio show, and it's on a lot of stations. So
that is true.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, you are being heard on perhaps as many as dozens of radio stations tonight.
Oh, okay. A dozen across the country. So, how many people do you think are listening on the radio right now?
It's hard to say. Different stations take the show at different times. We have maybe like 5 or 6 dozen stations that air our weekday show. We have a lot more that air our weekend shows, but they air it at different times. So some stations take just our third hour on weeknights because they have like a one-hour block where they need some content between one show and another show. So they just take that 1 hour. Some stations take all 3 hours all 7 nights a week. So we have the whole range from, like, there's one station that takes our Sunday show 1 hour, and that's it. And then there's some stations that take all 3 hours a night, 7 nights a week. So, I mean, we have the whole range of stations that take us. So if you want to go and learn more about it, you can go to our affiliates page at affiliates.freetalklive.com. And I am very, very, like, on top of that page. I always want to make sure that it is accurate as it possibly can be. So hopefully it's pretty close to the real situation with our roughly 170-something radio stations that shows you where they are, what cities, you know, what times that the show is aired. Some stations don't air the show live. They do what they call in the business a delay broadcast, so they record our show when it is live, and then they might play it back in the middle of the night, for instance. So,
wow, that's really awesome, because I just wanted to bring up that we had that CARE thing for the 4th of July.
The what thing?
That whole
CARE thing?
It's called the CARE Traffic Patrol for the 4th of July.
What's that mean?
So it's called a Combined Accident Reduction Effort. I think that's what it stands for.
Oh, boy.
So they caught 30 DWI drivers, and there were 67 crashes from June, like, 26th through July 4th.
How did they catch those people? Was it a checkpoint, or were they just pulling people over who looked like they might have been drunk?
Yeah, roving patrols.
Well, you know, I do not know the details, but they gave out 3,000 traffic tickets. Well, 120...
Oh, my Lord. In how many days? 3,000 tickets?
Yeah, 3,000 tickets. So 120 of them were seatbelt.
No, but how many days was this? You said it was June something?
I think it was June 27th or something like that. Maybe like five or six-day window. Because that's
Whoa.
When they all...
And this is all in Albuquerque?
I think state of New Mexico.
Oh, the whole state. Still, that is a lot of tickets. I mean, we're talking about 600 tickets a day. This is a major fundraising exercise on the part, because it's not keeping people safe. I know that you want to believe that, Sarah. All it's doing is it's just bringing revenue into the state police or the local policing agencies. That's all it's doing.
Well, my view is that there were 67 crashes, and six of those were fatal. So out of that, six of the crashes winded up in people dying. Mm. And so I think it is, so to me, I mean, you probably, are just, you're not afraid of cars like I am, so we have a different perspective.
Oh, no, I definitely do not want to get hit by a car. I mean, I don't live in fear of them, but there are certain things that you can do to reduce the likelihood that you're going to be hit by a car, like paying attention when you cross the street and looking both ways. I mean, my parents taught me this when I was a small child. the ball runs out and the ball rolls out
right?
in the street when the kids are playing in the front lawn, and your parents teach you to look both ways, not once, but twice. You know, make sure that there's no cars coming. Yeah. These are basic childhood things that you learn, Sarah, and that way you don't have to be afraid of the cars. You understand that they are a threat, and you treat them accordingly.
Well, so these wrecks are involving cars, so that just because you're driving a car, you're not safe. You get T-boned by a red light violator, you get, you know, hurt and sometimes killed. So six of these got in...
Well, there is a risk involved driving
Sarah,
to work.
There's a risk to living, right?
That's right.
Like, I mean, I understand, like, obviously nobody wants to be, like, have their life be put in danger, but the reality is there is a certain amount of risk every single day that you get up, and some of those risky places are things like getting in the shower, slip and falls, in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Is some of the riskiest.
You're more likely to get hurt in your own home. That's true.
Right. I mean, it's not, you know, cars are potentially dangerous, but we don't stop showering or stop using the bathroom because we might slip and fall and die. Or we don't.
Please
don't stop
showering.
Yeah, right? Like, we don't stop. We shouldn't stop driving. I mean, think about what would happen economically. We'd starve to death. I mean, if people didn't go out and use their tractors to plow the fields, and people didn't, you know, drive the trucks to get the food to the grocery store, and you didn't go to the grocery store, I mean, you would die of starvation.
Well, you do have the ability to hire someone else these days to do your shopping for you then drive the food to your home.
Assuming that we don't outlaw driving. I mean,
so you could avoid driving in order to acquire the food, but somebody has to drive it to get it there.
Ultimately, the point is you wouldn't want to make us perfectly safe, because perfect safety has is potentially more damaging and dangerous than being less safe. In quotes,
Point. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. And life would just be so boring if everything was maximum safety all the time. You've got to wear the helmet. You've got to put on the knee pads. You've got, you know, all the different things that they try to do to round off all the corners and make life so bland and uninteresting and so unrisky or so safe. I mean, we've talked a lot about this. There's a new term that I learned to describe it called safetyism, is the obsession with being safe over anything else. And we saw this really take hold of people. I mean, it's been growing for decades. But it really took hold of people in a way that I'd never seen during COVID, where people were just going overboard into insanity with just being super, super safe and super paranoid. And I got so sick, and you still hear it from time to time, like if you call a corporate phone line for getting, you know, some sort of customer assistance. It's like they're told to end the call with, be safe.
Really?
And you've never heard that? I've heard it so many times.
Be safe.
Be safe.
I feel like I may have heard that.
It's the parting statement. It's like the sort of official parting statement for people.
Where would you have heard that?
On like every corporate phone line that I've ever spoken with in the last 3 years.
They end it with be safe?
Be safe. Mm-hmm. I've heard it so many times. And it is the COVID parting, you know, statement, right? Like, that's what people say under this safetyism viewpoint of that is the way to say goodbye to somebody now is to tell them
to be
safe.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I think I've heard this, but I don't necessarily know if I've heard this with a corporate phone line.
Oh, yeah.
Call. Are we talking about, like to pay a bill or something like that?
Yeah, any old phone line where you actually have a human being talking to you. I tell you, man, it happens more often than not.
I do pay a couple of bills like via phone still, but I don't know if I've heard that with the ones that I am using, or maybe I just hang up before.
Maybe you just hang up.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm hanging up beforehand.
Register with you.
Yeah, it
but
could
for
be
me,
that too.
It registers with me because it just rubs me the wrong way, and I'm sorry, safety is overrated.
Oh, definitely.
It really is. If you want to have an interesting life, then you should take some risks. I mean, you cannot get anywhere in life generally without being willing to take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be a simple risk of asking somebody out on a date, right? You're risking you're risking them telling you no. You know, you're risking potentially them hurting your feelings getting hurt because they didn't like you or whatever, right? Like that's a small risk. And then there's larger risks of, like, investing in a business.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, and you know, which could potentially fail and financially ruin you or whatever, right? Like, there's all kinds of different risks to take. But if you take the safe road every single time, you will just be hiding in your mom's basement at age 45, and you'll have never achieved anything in your life besides getting, you know, some video game points or whatever, and that's it. I mean, that's what you take to the grave.
It's funny how much I can relate to this.
Sure. You're an entrepreneur.
I'm an entrepreneur, and I've actually had people tell me we should stop selling laptops, and, like, that's, like, it doesn't make us a lot of money, but it's the core part of the business.
Mm.
Like, what do you mean stop selling laptops? Like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, but people don't, and it's funny, it's like people are so afraid, you know, they're so afraid, well, what if the laptops don't sell out and you have all this extra inventory? Well, let's be honest, sometimes that kind of thing does happen when you overstock a product.
You lower the price and you sell off the stock.
Sometimes it takes longer to sell out. Sometimes you'll never sell out. Sometimes you'll lose money on it. But you can't not invest. You can't not keep your business going, right? Like, you've got to keep doing certain
Who are these
things.
Naysayers? Are these friends of yours?
I'll leave out the
just
one.
Randos.
A particular person that I'm thinking of at the moment. But I completely understand.
Are they people who've run their own business before?
People who should not run their own business. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I suspect they have not. Right? Like, they don't know.
They wouldn't have a clue. Yeah.
So you want to comment, you can here. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's get back into the story here from the group, the hate group, one of the hate groups, because there's multiple hate groups of the Free State Project here. This group is called Granite State Matters. They're doing what they say is a history of the Porcupine Freedom Festival and the Free State Project. They say that they chose New Hampshire for three reasons. Its motto, live free or die. Its state constitution that permits revolution, and its small population with an enormous 400-person legislature of volunteers. Okay, that is not correct. Those were three of 101 reasons why people chose New Hampshire. When the vote happened for the Free State Project, which I was explaining to you earlier, Chris, they had a pitch sheet basically for all 10 states that were trying to get votes. And New Hampshire's was the most well-researched, the most persuasive, and that's because they came up with 101 reasons why people should choose New Hampshire over the other 9 options with the Free State Project. And ever since, that thing has been sort of a centerpiece of the Free State Project. They made a documentary film about it in 2014 where they took this text list and they turned it into an hour-long documentary that, by the way, is due to be updated hopefully within the next year or so, as I understand it. I don't know what the current timetable is, but Justin O'Donnell, who's a Free Stater mover from Massachusetts, he took this project on. He wrote a book updating the 101 Reasons, because this is an old document. It goes back to 2002, roughly, or 2003 when the vote happened. And so it's been around for 20 years at this point. So it's a little out of date. I mean, there's more reasons now than there was before, and some of the reasons that were there then have sort of changed or shifted over the years. So Justin took the time to go through the 101 Reasons and add some fresh reasons to it and, you know, cited all his sources and all that. And he wrote a really, really great book, and it's a long title. So I can't remember what it is, but if you go to 101reasonsfilm.com, there is actually a link to the new version of that book there. It's actually a book now instead of just a PDF. You can actually physically have a copy of this. It's very well done. I like it. And they're going to take that new book and turn it into a new documentary film with the new 101 Reasons. So to say that it was only three reasons why people chose New Hampshire, no, it was a myriad.
I definitely would say I think they've chosen I don't know, well, I can't say why people chose New Hampshire, but I can say why I think it was a great idea to choose New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them, quite a few of them actually, but like at least a handful of them that I thought were really great, like the population density, mm-hmm. concentration, the population number, like not having too many people because you have to get enough people.
Well, that was true with all
economic
of the 10
opportunities.
All of the 10 states for the Free State Project had low population. In fact, that was the number one filter as to why Sorens picked, the founder of the Free State Project. He chose those 10 states because they were less than, I think, 1.5 million in population.
Yeah, but also like geography, mm-hmm. like just as an example, like.
Two international borders.
Yeah, sure. I'm not even thinking that so much, but just like, for example, it's in a populated region, mm-hmm. which can help when it comes to jobs and things of that
That's
nature.
That's true. You could work outside of New Hampshire if you needed to, like in Boston
something. Try doing that with Wyoming. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and
that's a good point.
As far as like distance from the state house, you know, things like that.
The small size of New Hampshire is a big one.
Right. You can actually get involved politically. I mean, honestly, like I didn't have the opportunity to vote because I wasn't even aware before the vote. I wasn't aware until, I think...
You were still in college, weren't you?
I wasn't... Let's see. 2003, I graduated high school. So I didn't out about it until... I guess I didn't find out about it until the vote happened. That is the one that I must have seen on Slashdot. Not... So I didn't know about it until then. But even then, it wasn't really a thing yet. You know, people hadn't moved. I mean, I guess there had been a few people who moved before the vote occurred, but yeah.
Well, they're right here. I mean, the three things they did point out, the live free or die, I mean, it was a great motto. And it does speak to the mindset of a lot of the New Hampshire natives, that New Hampshire natives tend to have this sort of freedom-friendly mindset. Whether they are libertarians or would describe themselves in that way is another question, but they're sort of born and raised in this live free or die mentality, and that's a good thing. So, I mean, there's no doubt that these are three good reasons, and the 400-person legislature, that was definitely on the list of 101 reasons. And this goes into what you're talking about, Chris, where the numbers make sense. When you look at New Hampshire, the small size of the state, the relatively low population, and this large 400-person legislature in the state representatives. Now, there's only 24 senators, but 400 state reps means that you've got, as they point out here, roughly one state rep per approximately 3,000 population. So these are it's a very representative system here. Obviously, I don't still believe that these people represent me, but, you know, it's better than a state where you have one representative per 100,000 population, and those states do exist.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, saying that they don't represent me in that. I mean, obviously, to some degree, that's a true statement, but I feel like that's probably less true here in New Hampshire than anywhere. Like, I think it's more true anywhere else. Like, I certainly think, you know, certain people like, I think some of our good reps, I want to say Jason. Who are some of our reps?
There's 50 of them. Jason Gerhardt is
Jason
Gerhardt. New one.
I think Jason Gerhardt is a great example. Matt Santinostasso.
Who is 100% on the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance rating. So Matt Santinostasso is literally the most perfect libertarian rep that you could imagine. And he's he ran as a Republican to get elected. He led the charge for independence with the secession bill a year ago, and hopefully he's going to do that again coming up at the end of this year. So there's a whole different story here when you talk about being able to access the system. The system's terrible. It's still hurting people. It's still a state. It's still violent. It's still, you know, awful. The government schools still suck. They're still really expensive. But you have the ability to actually talk to state representatives here. These people come around. They come to our events in a lot of cases. They're frequently seen at Free State Project events and such. And there's and you know these people in a lot of cases. These are people who you've in many cases you've known them before they got elected to the free to the state rep seats. So then after they're elected, they're even more approachable because they already know you, right? But even if you don't know a state representative, they're all very approachable. They're in many cases home phone numbers and cell phone numbers are listed publicly on the state website, so you can just pick up the phone and reach out to any of the state reps, whether they be free staters or Democrats or just normal Republicans or whatever. It's just the level of sort of down to earthness of these people is unprecedented when it comes to politicians. And they don't have staff. Okay, that's another key difference. There's not some secretary sitting in between you and the state representative.
What do you remember the number? It was, I think somebody was talking about 3,300, and I think it was a California rep thought it was like 330,000 or something. Like as far as the number of people they represent. It was some insane.
Couldn't understand it.
Like they couldn't even comprehend how few people one of our House reps represented.
Yeah, you literally are going to likely run into your quote unquote state rep, the one that is your representative quote unquote for your area. So ours, in this case, lives down the street from us here. So you're probably going to see her at the grocery store. You know, you're probably going to see her walking around the neighborhood, that kind of thing. You don't get that anywhere else. I mean, that level of connectedness with these people. And so being able to connect with them means that you, in theory, have the potential to persuade them. If they don't already agree with you, and again, many of these state reps do, but if they're against you on some issue, you at the very least can speak to that individual and you can try to change their mind. In some cases, you might actually be successful. In other cases, you might have to run against them to take them out the next time. So they point out here that 20,000 people signed a pact saying they wanted to move to New Hampshire and the Free State Project was underway. And it did take some time, unfortunately, to make that happen. It would have been nice if the New Hampshire was chosen and then the rate of signups continued the way it was, because before the vote happened in 2003, people were signing up like gangbusters. There were a ton of people signing up for the Free State Project, and they got to 5,000 members really quick. And then they had the vote, and the sign-up rate just dropped off the radar. And so Sorens, the founder, Jason Sorens, admitted later he probably screwed up. He probably should have had the vote at 20,000.
Yeah.
And then the rate of signups would have just gone crazy to 20,000, and would have gone a little different. Anyway, hour number two is coming up. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.